Holy Father, we indeed come trembling before Thee. We come trembling before Thee because we recognize that except for Thy grace, we deserve to go to hell. We don't deserve this salvation Thou hast so gloriously provided for us at all. We don't deserve it. We deserve to go to hell to pay for our sins. And yet Thou in Thy marvelous, incomprehensible love hast provided this salvation. We don't understand it at all. And we praise Thee, we honor Thee, we magnify Thy name, we glorify Thee for this most marvelous salvation. Oh, Father, we truly are grateful that we can know that in Christ our sins are forgiven. And, Father, as we talk about these aspects of salvation, if there's anyone listening, if there's anyone at all who is struggling with sin in their life and they really want to know that way, Father, wilt Thou draw them? Wilt Thou give them that desire to know? Could it be that salvation might come to many? We praise Thee that it is still the day of salvation. Father, bless us now as we continue our study together. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been going on in our study of Mark chapter 1, we came to the realization that Jesus had to become naked for our sins, naked before God in order to pay for our sins. And this is suggested by the language of, as John the Baptist declares, that I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose the latchet of His shoes, or I'm not worthy to bear His shoes. I'm not worthy that Christ would be barefoot and naked, which is these two figures go together in the Bible, that He would be barefoot and naked, spiritually speaking, before God on my behalf. Well, then we got into the question of baptism. And we saw here that John is saying, I baptize you with water. And then he's speaking of the fact that he that will come, namely the Lord Jesus Christ, will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And in Matthew 3, we saw that it also says He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. And then we saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there is one baptism. Now we know that the word baptism has to do with washing or cleansing, with purification. It relates to the fact that when we are saved, our sins have been washed away. Very beautifully, in Ezekiel chapter 36, God speaks of this in verse 25, as He says, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. That is what baptism signifies, that our sins have been washed away. Now, actually, when John the Baptist says, I baptize you in water, it wasn't that water that he baptized with that would put away their sins, but it was a sign or a reflection pointing to the washing that would be provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the kind of washing that is necessary if we are to be saved, washing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where the substance is. That is what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 speaks about when he says there is one baptism. There's only one washing. There's only one way that we can be made clean of all of our sins, and that is if God cleanses us of our sins. And the outward sign of water baptism is only a sign. It's only a reflection. Now, in the Old Testament, they had these water ablutions or water baptisms that were pointing to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we have baptism, water baptism, as a sign that looks back on the washing that is provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. However, as we talk about this, we've raised two other questions that we haven't answered yet. The first is, does it mean here that Christ would baptize you with or in the Holy Spirit and fire? Remember, we read that in Matthew 3. And what does it... Let's pick up that question first of all. He will baptize you in the Holy... Oh, yes. And the other question is, how is it then that Jesus said, no, the Holy Spirit will baptize you in the Holy Ghost, as we saw in Acts chapter 1? I thought it was Christ who was going to do this. And so we still have a couple of questions we have to face. Well, now, in the Bible, fire is used of judgment. It is a picture of judgment. We say very glibly sometimes, fire is used to purify or to cleanse, and indeed, that's a true statement, but we have to understand what we say or what we mean when we say that. You see, in order for any of us to stand perfect before God, to be cleansed of our sins, it must be necessary, first of all, that we pay for our sins. And how do we pay for our sins? By spending an eternity in hell. And you'll recall that hell is spoken of as hellfire, or as a burning furnace. It is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is a terrible place of torment. But only by spending an eternity there can we be so cleansed of our sins that we could stand before God. After we had spent an eternity there, we would have paid for our sins, and therefore we would have become cleansed of our sins. The Word of God, the judgment of God, could no longer come against us. But you see, Jesus came as our sin bearer, and in order to pay for our sins, it was necessary that He be our substitute in enduring the wrath of God for our sins. Therefore, He cleanses us with fire. He washes us with fire. He baptizes us with fire, or in fire. That is, as our substitute, He endured hell in our place. And that would be the meaning here in Matthew 3, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He came, He would be the one that would provide cleansing. Oh yes, it would be cleansing in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see a fuller implication of that in a moment. But it would be cleansing that would be provided because He endured hell for our sins. Now, in the Old Testament, one of the signs that was employed to point to this hellfire was the burnt offering. We don't use burnt offerings today because that was part of the ceremonial law, and Christ has indeed endured hell for our sins, and so God does not want that sign used anymore. We just use the sign of water as a sign that indicates our washing. But that's what the burnt offering signified, that we would be, hell had to be paid for our sins in order that our sins might be cleansed of our sins. And this is what Jesus came to do, to baptize us in fire, to cleanse us, to purify us by enduring hell for our sins. Now, remember in Matthew 3, as John the Baptist talked about this baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire, he said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. God through this is clearly indicating that this baptism provided by Jesus, this baptism in fire for us, meant that He had to endure judgment, the judgment of God in all of its terrible agony. He had to endure the equivalent of an eternity in hell. And those who are not baptized by Jesus, that is, in the Holy Spirit and fire, they will endure hell on their own behalf. That is the warning that is sounded here also. What a magnificent salvation! What a magnificent salvation that we have been cleansed in fire. That is, Christ has endured hell on our behalf. Remember in 1 Corinthians 3, this just comes to mind and it relates to this. In 1 Corinthians 3, remember it's talking about those who some of their works were not quite as fruitful. In verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And remember when we studied 1 Corinthians, we saw that that referred to the fact that our salvation, everyone's salvation is the same. We're saved as through fire. We're saved because Christ has been our substitute in enduring the fires of hell on our behalf. And only then can we be saved. We're not saved by our works, even though our works may not be of tremendous account. We still are saved because Christ has endured hell on our behalf. Now that is implied here in Matthew 3, where John the Baptist said that this coming Messiah will baptize you in fire. Well, we still have a problem remaining. John said here in Mark chapter 1, he shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But Christ came along in Acts chapter 1, and he said, when the Holy Spirit would come, he will baptize you in the Holy Ghost or in the Holy Spirit. And that was pointing to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. How are we to reconcile those two ideas? Well, we must remember that the lot or the condition or the character of the New Testament believer was a little bit different than that of the Old Testament believer. Our salvation is the same. There's only one salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the baptism of John in water was a sign or a reflection pointing to the cleansing that could be provided in the coming Messiah, just as our New Testament sign of baptism points back on the cleansing provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. In that sense, they are identical. They are simply shadows or reflection, with the substance being that one baptism of Ephesians 4 verse 5, namely that Christ or that our sins have been washed away. We have been cleansed or purified of our sins. But the difference arises in the fact that God had a program to evangelize the world, and that was not to begin until Christ went to the cross and the Holy Spirit was poured out a few days later. When someone was saved in the Old Testament, they were saved in every sense of the word. They were born from above. They were a new creature. They had eternal life. When they died in their soul existence, they could leave the body and go immediately into the presence of God in heaven. They were exactly the same as we are when we are saved. But ordinarily, in the Old Testament, they were not given a mandate, nor were they qualified to be a witness in the world. Occasionally, God did call someone to be a prophet like Isaiah or Elijah or Hosea, and they were so qualified, but usually they just were saved, and that there was no further qualification. But it was God's intention that beginning with Pentecost, every child of God, every born-again believer at the time that he became saved, would not only have his sins washed away, but also would become identified with God the Holy Spirit in the work of evangelizing the world. We would become qualified as a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the term baptism in the Holy Spirit, while it was accomplished in fact by Christ going to the cross, would not become realized in its fullest extent until the Holy Spirit was poured out. So even though John the Baptist is declaring here in Mark 1 verse 8, I baptize with water, but the one who comes after me, the Lord Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit, we would not see the full import of baptism in the Holy Spirit until the Holy Spirit would be poured out. And therefore Jesus in Acts 1 said, you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It would not have its full meaning until the Holy Spirit was poured out. And so to be baptized in the Holy Spirit carries with it the double meaning. First of all, that our sins have been washed away, that we have been cleansed of our sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, that we have become identified with the Holy Spirit in His work of evangelizing the world. Now the disciples, for example, they were saved before the cross, that is, before the time of the cross, that is, except for Judas. And yet Jesus still said to them, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well now, they had experienced the spiritual baptism, certainly their sins were washed away, but they had not yet experienced the full import of the meaning of baptism in the Holy Spirit, because they had not yet begun their task as being identified with the Holy Spirit in His work of evangelizing the world. Oh yes, they had gone out two by two, they had preached the gospel, but it was a very frail effort. Very few people became saved. But remember, at Pentecost, after this baptism in the Holy Spirit came into existence in its full meaning, that is, the work of evangelizing the world had truly begun because the Holy Spirit had been poured out, Peter preached one sermon and 3,000 are saved. Do you see the difference now? Do you see the difference now? To be baptized in the Holy Spirit carried with it, therefore, not only that you will be cleansed of your sins by this coming Messiah, but he will also provide the work that was required so that God the Holy Spirit could begin His work of evangelizing the world, and you also will become identified with that work. That is what is in view here. I'm very convinced, as it says in Acts or in Mark chapter 1, that you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, now let's go on. In verse 9, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. Now, the first time you ever read this in the Bible, and this may have been long ago, and now you've read it so many times that you've taken this for granted, that he was baptized of John. But I'm sure the first time you read this, if you had any knowledge at all of the holiness of Jesus, the perfection of Jesus, you wondered, why would he have to be baptized of John? In fact, John the Baptist asked him the same question, and I think we read this in Matthew or John, where he says, no, I shouldn't be baptize you, you should baptize me. I'm the sinner. You're not the sinner. You're the Holy One of God. You're the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. And Jesus said, no, you have to baptize me, as for thus I will fulfill all righteousness. Now we ask the fair question, why did Jesus have to be baptized? Well, we could argue, and this is one possibility, that He had become sin for us. True, He was the high priest. True, He was the Messiah. But He also was the Lamb that was to be slain, and He had become sin for us, and He had to be cleansed of those sins by enduring hell for our sins. And therefore, His water baptism by John was a reflection of the cleansing that would be required in His life, and that had to occur by him going to the cross. And I think that's a valid conclusion. I think that is one of the reasons why he had to be baptized. He was standing before God exactly as those as Old Testament Israel. John the Baptist was saying to Old Testament Israel, I indeed have baptized you with water. And it was a baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to have your sins taken away. And you can have this all done in the coming Messiah. But here the Messiah himself stands there, but he is laden with our sins. He came as the sin bearer. And he had to, in order to be righteousness for us, in order to be our Savior, he had to be cleansed of those sins. But wonderfully, of course, his cleansing would be carried out by he himself as he endured hell for our sins, as he bore the full wrath of God for our sins. But nevertheless, he had to be cleansed of those sins. And so, in that sense, he had to be baptized. It was, again, a shadow or a reflection of the fact that there was sin here, and that even though Jesus himself was utterly holy, yet, in another sense, he had become sin, and he had to be washed of those sins, and his washing would be done by himself, whereas our washing is done by Christ on our behalf. However, there is another reason why he had to be baptized. Back in the Old Testament, when a priest, or when Aaron, who was the first chief priest, when he was ready to begin his priestly duty, he and his sons, it was necessary that he go through certain ceremonial observances. And the first thing that had to be done was that he had to be washed. Let's look back at Leviticus chapter 8. Leviticus chapter 8. And I think this bears very directly on these verses that we're reading about in Mark chapter 1. We read in Leviticus 8 verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take Aaron and his sons with him. Now, they are going to be the priests. Aaron will be the high priest. And this is at the point where they are to be consecrated. They are to begin their priestly duties. Take Aaron and his sons with him, and the garments and the anointing oil, and a bullock for the sin offering, and two rams, and a basket of unleavened bread, and gather thou all the congregation together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly was gathered together unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Moses said unto the congregation, this is the thing which the Lord commanded to be done. And Moses brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. He brought Aaron and his sons and washed them with water. Now, what does baptism signify? Washing, or cleansing, or purification. And here Moses, a man of the tribe of Levi, just as Aaron was, he is used of God to administer the ceremonial water to wash Aaron and his sons. And then he clothed them with the clothing of the priesthood. And only after they have been washed were they ready to be so clothed. Well, now Jesus came as the great high priest that would kill the lamb. Oh, he was also the lamb. Yes, he was. But he was also the high priest. The Bible speaks of him as the high priest. And he officially began his work as high priest, as well as our mediator and sin bearer, at this moment in history recorded for us in Mark chapter 1. In order for him to begin his work, therefore, just as Aaron and his sons had to be washed, so Jesus had to be washed. Now, throughout the priesthood, whenever any priest began his work in the temple, God later on provided a laver of water in the temple, a basin of water, and then the priest washed his hands and feet in that basin of water, and you read about that in a later place in the Bible, and then he was ready to go about his duties. representing Christ in offering the sacrifices. But Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. He could not go into the temple. Only those of the tribe of Levi, who were direct descendants of Aaron, could go into the temple and use that water. Therefore, it was not possible for Jesus to go into the temple and wash there, so that ceremonially he would become cleansed, so that ceremonially he would be prepared to assume his priestly duties. So God raised up another great man of the tribe of Levi, just as Moses was of the tribe of Levi, and that was John the Baptist. Remember that his mother was Elizabeth. She was of the daughters of Aaron, and Aaron was of the tribe of Levi. Zechariah, his father, was also of a direct descendant of Aaron. And so, John the Baptist was a priest in his own right. He came out of a priestly line on both sides. And he is the one that God is going to use to administer the washing of Jesus, the ceremonial washing, so that officially he could begin his task as high priest. Just as Moses was elected back in Leviticus 8 to administer the water to Aaron and his sons. Well, that's as far as we can go right now. We'll continue and finish that thought in our next study, and then look at this Holy Spirit coming down upon him and see how that relates to whatever in the Old Testament. Until then, may the Lord richly bless you.